A year after Bashar al-Assad's fall, Syria is still reeling from nearly 14 years of civil war. It's now the world's second most dangerous country after Myanmar for unexploded bombs, presenting grave risks to the more than 3 million displaced Syrians who are now returning home. The UK-based charity Halo Trust works to clear and manage explosives. Simon Jackson is the group's Syria program manager. I spoke to him earlier. Simon Jackson, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Good to be on with you.
So what sort of explosives are we talking about that Syrians are facing as they go about everyday life?
Well, really, it's the whole range of the kinds of explosives that we see after a conflict like the Syrian civil war. We have conventional landmines that are usually buried beneath the surface, both anti-personnel and anti-vehicle types. We have unexploded ordnances, things such as mortars or rockets or artillery shells that have failed to function as designed when they were used in battles. We have cluster submunitions, which are known for having a high failure rate, and those are particularly dangerous. And we also have, across Syria, a number of different improvised devices, whether that's buried IEDs or improvised munitions like improvised mortars and rockets.
So whereabouts would you typically find some of these? Are they concentrated in certain areas, or are we talking widespread across the entire country?
Really, anywhere there has been fighting, we are finding these kinds of devices. In the northwest of Syria, where Halo Syria has most of its work, was a front line, and which was effectively opposing trenches with no man's land in between, with landmine belt in between those trenches. We see a lot of IED contamination in the eastern desert along the River Euphrates, and really in the urban areas, in the cities that may be known, such as Aleppo and Homs and Hama, and even in the outskirts of Damascus, there's a very high degree of unexploded ordnances from those battles.
So how many people have died from unexploded bombs in the last year?
Yes, since the fall of the Assad regime on December the 8th last year, we've been able to record some accidents. The verified number of total casualties is just over 1,600, of which almost 600 have resulted in deaths. And tragically, one in three of those casualties is a child. We think that the real numbers are likely to be higher, as in some of the more remote areas, people will be having accidents, people will be dying, and that not being captured by either the medical services or some of the other monitoring NGOs.
What impact is this having on the efforts to have reconstruction, particularly in more urban areas, but also efforts to return to agricultural practices? How much of an impediment are these unexploded ordnances to that return to post-war life?
I mean, really, there's no possibility of doing any kind of reconstruction or redevelopment without thinking about the threat of the explosive remnants of war. In the northwest, again, on that minefield belt, there's really good agricultural land that has been unproductive for many years. And farmers are returning. They're desperate to get back to their lands to make a living for their families. And they're taking some serious risks. And quite a lot of the accidents that we see in that area are farmers or pastoralists coming back to that. In the urban setting, again, people are coming back to ruined houses, ruined community centres. They want to rebuild. The people here are keen to return home. But the explosive remnants that are there, you know, they don't necessarily know what is safe and what is unsafe. Just last week, I was in Palmyra and I was meeting with some of the community leaders there, and they were saying that they're afraid to leave their houses. They're afraid for their children leaving the houses, and they would expect a lot more people to be coming home. But that threat of the hidden danger by these remnants of war are keeping people from coming back, restarting their lives and rebuilding their country.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast, and my guest is Simon Jackson, who with the Halo Trust is working to clear and manage explosives in Syria. Simon, talk me through, how do you find and safely detonate these devices, and who's doing this and who can help do this?
There's a number of different ways that we find these. For example, if we're looking for minefields, we have teams that are dedicated to doing survey work. They speak with the community. We look at accident data, analyze the type of accidents, the type of injuries and effects from those accidents, and start to try and identify where are the minefields. We're bringing in drone technology to help to refine that process, and using machine learning and AI processes, we hope in the next year to increase the accuracy of those survey results for minefields. When it comes to other explosive ordinances, usually that is referral by the community, referral by the local police or civil authorities, or indeed during the risk awareness sessions that we run in communities and schools. Quite often attendees from that will say, I've got a device like this in my garden, or my neighbour has something that looks like some of the pictures that we show them to warn them off the dangers. We then send our trained teams that are trained to international standards to assess each of those situations, particularly for the explosive ordnance, and as quickly as we can to dispose of it, usually using a small donor charge of explosives to completely destroy the device. Mm-hmm. We currently have around 250 staff in Syria, and over 95% of those are Syrian staff, many of them from the communities that have been affected both by the war and by the dangerous legacy of landmines and unexploded ordnance.
And can you give me a sense of how much of this work is being done by, you know, international groups such as yours, and how much is being done by the interim government led by President Ahmed al-Sharaa? Is there enough international support, and is there enough focus on this issue domestically?
I think domestically there is a focus, but the government is not yet resourced for it. There have been efforts by military demining units and indeed some civil defence units to deal with explosive ordnance. But really, for the Halo Trust, for the other international organisations and for the local organisations, what we need is financial investment now. We currently have 250 staff. I would like to expand by at least double in next year, but the cost of that is in the region of 15 million British pounds. And that would be a drop in the ocean. Really, the problem is so vast. People are returning in such numbers and finding so many dangerous items that actually we could quadruple that number and still have years of work. However, a point of hope is that, you know, the Syrian people want to solve their own problems. The Syrian government wants to solve its own problems. And if we have early intervention from the international community and support for the right structures and the right organisations, building the capacity for Syria, this should not be a problem that drags on for decades and decades, needing international involvement in clearing up the explosive remnants of this brutal conflict.
Simon Jackson, thanks very much for taking me through the work you're doing.
Thank you very much.
Simon Jackson is the Syria Program Manager for the Halo Trust.